Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have tonight to gather together as family. Lord, we truly are family. We're far beyond natural family. We're spiritual family. We're citizens of heaven. We're sons and daughters of God. And Lord, we thank you that we're your family. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us here tonight in a very special way. And I know there's an anointing on this word. Father, this word tonight will bring forth fruit in our lives for years to come, for the rest of our lives, and we'll make changes even though we don't realize it's making a change. It is. And we thank you, Father, for the seed of this living word tonight. We receive it, Father, from your heart to ours. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I was going to start, we left off last week with Hebrews 4:12, but I thought I was going to start there, but that will probably have to wait till next week. I knew there was a part two to this, to last week's. I didn't know. I didn't have any of it on here. So while ago, I got a little different direction. It's the same message, but it's expanded. I expanded on, or expanding on last week's. The title of last week's was God and His Word Are One. And I'm just going to real fast, and I do mean real fast, mention some of the points that I made last week. And we will start again in John 1 because it's necessary to link it to what we're going to talk about today. Last week we mentioned that not only is God Himself the source of the living Word, but the living Word is God Himself. God and His Word are one. You cannot separate God and His Word. Just as you cannot separate God from His Word, you cannot separate man from His Word, good or bad. And we used Matthew 12:35-37. We said God's Word is alive. God Himself is life. Since God and His Word are one, then God's Word is life, absolute life. I need to keep that in my thinking. God's Word is absolute life. It's life beyond natural life. It's absolute life. Because God is absolute life. He is life. So if God and His Word are one, it falls into just even the simplest person should understand if God and His Word are one and cannot be separated, then His Word is life. Because He is life. God and His Word are one. I need to have that revelation. I need to have it. I need to continuously be thinking about that. Because when I break the bread of life, when I unfold the truth as we were talking about a couple weeks ago, when I unfold the Word and it enters my life, it's the living Word. It's a life that can change anything in my life. It can change my future. It can deal with my past. It can change my family, even family that don't exist yet. It can set a path for them because I'm setting my path on walking the Word, and it's setting an automatic path for them. I don't know who prayed for me. I don't know. She or he might have lived centuries ago. I don't know, but they prayed for me. And I know what the choices that they made are linked to me today. That just boggles my mind how that if you look at the lineage of Jesus, one reason why they do that, they want you to know how you are connected. Who your ancestors are. But as you look at the lineage of Jesus, who was there, what they did in their lives, and how that was linked to Jesus. You know, it blows my mind how something my great, whatever they were, way back there, done something that put the path of life to me.
Yes.
And how the path of life I have is linked to who knows who. I would have never thought that I would go the way I did. I would have never chose that path. But God already had it chosen for me. He already knew who I was going to be. He already had divine encounters for me, for my life. Now, some of them I didn't follow. So I wound up in a place where I wasn't supposed to be. But right there, God was with me. It didn't fool Him. It didn't fool Him just the way He... Just the way Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world, the Word says. He was crucified from the foundation of the world. God knew there was going to be a fall. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't where his faith was. Mm-hmm. You know, he would rather we did not, but he gave us free choice and free will. So God has prepared a path for each of us, and that just blows my mind. Tonight's message is part of that path. I believe that in God's heart, every word that we hear in our life, every time we sit down with the Word, that is a preordained appointment with God. It's a divine appointment that we have. And we treat it so lightly, but it's so much more than what's actually we see or think. And if we could just put more emphasis in the things that we do and watch what we do and see how it's going to link to something else and expect divine appointments from God, we'll have them. We'll know they're there.
It goes from generation to generation to generation.
Generation to generation. It's there's no mistakes in God. God knows the beginning from the end. And He's prepared a path for us that only He could prepare. It's important that we follow that path. But if we're not in the Word, we're not going to recognize His path, because we're not going to be able to hear Him. We'll go more with our emotions, and that'll get us off in the ditch instead of following the divine voice of the Holy Spirit through His Word. The more time we spend in the Word, the more time we spend like this, the stronger we get, the easier it is to hear His voice. And that boggles my mind. But I know that there's life comes forth from the Word. Every time I don't know how many thousands of tapes. At one time I had 4,000 audio tapes. Just the Word. Just messages. And traveling like I did, anywhere from 4 to 5 hours a day, every day. That's what I did. I had the Word going. I never listened to the radio. I still don't. I listen to the Word. I don't know how many hours upon hours upon hours of Word I've heard. But I know that was building things in me.
Wow.
It's building things in me. It gave me a knowledge of God that I would have not received any other way. And it's a heart knowledge. And those men and women of God that I listen to, maybe they're dead, maybe they're not, but they imparted to me. And they didn't know they were doing that. They knew they were imparting, but they didn't know. Years down the road, Michael's going to get a tape. And when these go out that way, I don't know where they're going. And I'm nothing special other than a voice for the Lord. And I really believe anytime you hear a minister genuinely ministering the Word, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit coming through him. It's not his voice. You hear his voice, but it's not his voice. When Paul sat down and dictated and wrote these out, and these other awesome men of God, they were sitting there writing with the hand of the Holy Spirit. They were hearing his voice and saying it in just a certain way. So I just appreciate this book so much, because to me, this is Paul speaking, or the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. It's Paul's voice, Paul's hand, but it's the Holy Spirit writing it. And it's to us today. It's in the heart of God. That's how powerful this book is, like we talked in our very first time. So we're going to go back to John 1:1 for just a moment, I think, to kind of put this together with what we're going to talk about today. And I will be using the Amplified tonight. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. That's such an important verse. He was present originally with God. And I mentioned last time, notice it went from the Word to He. The Word took on a personality. He was present originally with God. And notice it's God and He. It's not just God, even though they are one. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Praise God. Now we're going to move over to Hebrews. So that last part is what I'm kind of going to be talking about tonight, is God and His Word are one, and that's in every area. God and His Word are always one. They cannot be separated. Please get a hold of that. If you got to say it 1,000 times to get it into your spirit, man, God and His Word are one. The Word is absolute life. It's absolute truth. Like, it cannot be changed in any way. It's absolute. An absolute can never be changed or altered. It's absolute. God's Word is absolute truth. It's absolute life. And therefore, because it is absolute truth and absolute life, it brings forth life. When I receive the Word of God, I'm receiving life, God's life. And it will bring forth life if I will do my part and believe. Okay, so here we find that this Word was so powerful. In verse 3 it says, and it's talking about the Word itself, all things were made and came into existence through Him.
You're still in John 1.
Yeah, John 1, I'm staying there for just now.
I'm
going to connect. You can stay in Hebrews 11, 1, because I'm going to jump right there. So just stay there. But just as it says here, all things were made and came into existence through Him. So all things is all things. And when you go back, like John takes us back to the beginning, like we talked about last week, in the beginning, before all time. We talked about the beginnings. The real beginning there. The Word from that moment with God, from the time that God decided there was going to be creation of any kind. There was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's all existed. From that time forth, God the Son, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit worked together to bring forth creation. They've always been one, always will be one. Everything they do is as one. It may say Jesus did this, but the Holy Spirit and God the Father was there too.
Yeah.
Wherever it's, you see the Holy Spirit doing something, God the Father and the Word's there.
No.
They're always one. You cannot never separate them. Anything one does, the other's there as partners with that. They have a part to play. Sometimes it's a silent part, but it's a part. They always work together. In the same way I mentioned before, the three elements that always work together. Love, the Word, and faith. God is love. Jesus is the Word. Holy Spirit is the faith. They always work together. No matter what is going on, no matter what is taking place, if God's in it, those three elements are there. If one of those are missing, then it doesn't work. Because they always work together. They draw on one another. So here we see creation itself, everything in all of eternity, everything in time, everything that has ever existed or ever will exist, was created by the Word. Its source was the Word. Well, then God created sin. No, He didn't. Everything the devil has done has been perverted from something that God created. Faith, fear is a perversion of faith. Satan perverted it. Everything that Satan is, he can't create anything. He never has created anything. Iniquity was found in him. In other words, he chose to do that. God didn't create it. Satan chose to do that. He perverted something. And everything that follows that, fear, worry, depression, all those things are perversions. They're all things that he took and perverted. But the actual essence of where its source code, so to speak, the source code is God. If it exists, the source of it is there. A lot of things are perverted that God created. That's going to change. It is being changed, even as we speak. That's why the cross, to bring, as it says in Colossians, to bring everything back. Into Philippians or Colossians, to bring everything back into reconciliation with God. All things will be restored in Jesus. So we need to have that in our mind, but remember all things that are, exist, He's the source of it. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, now it's the Amplified again, by faith we understand, or we comprehend. By faith we understand that the worlds during their successive ages, now I'm not just talking about earth, the worlds or creation. For by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. The force of faith applied to what God said, God's own faith applied to the Word that God said, framed, formed, put together the worlds, put them in place for their particular purpose. Hebrews 11 is all about faith. But faith in what? Faith is always applied to the Word. You will always find love, faith, and the Word working together. The Word has to have faith. And your faith can only be applied to the Word. It's never applied to the issue or problem. If you try to apply your faith to an issue or to changing something, it won't work. It won't work. Change is in the future. Hope is applied to that. Our faith is applied only to the Word, and then hope jumps out there and starts bringing to pass what my faith is applied to. Faith can only be applied to the Word. It's the only place it can activate. Everything else that you're looking to change things, that's hope out there working. Faith and hope working together. That's another message. But that's another thing we need to remember. Faith is always applied to the Word. Faith is always in the now. That's what Hebrews is saying here in verse 1. So let's take a look now at Colossians chapter 2. And we'll probably spend some time here. I want to go a lot further than I'm going to be able to today. But Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. And again, this is getting deep because Paul is really getting deep here with Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. He wants these guys to know God and to know these things. All three letters are closely, they're very close in their content. Some of the things he says in all of them in a little different way. But let's look at verse 3. Remember, we're talking about the Word and about it being all things were made by the Word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In Him, in who?
Jesus.
In Jesus, the Word. So we're back to the Word again. In Him, all the treasures of the divine wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up in and lie hidden in Him. All. In Him, all the treasures of divine wisdom. So, all of the wisdom of God is in Jesus. All of the wisdom of God is in the Word. All that He needs to reveal is in this Word. All the divine wisdom is in Jesus. We need to... I'm aiming at that, pushing a little bit on it, because I don't think we understand the depths of what we're talking about here. All the wisdom of God is found in Him. The Amplified, when it says divine wisdom, it says comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. Comprehensive insight, or full, deep insight. Comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. It's revealed in Jesus. We'll be talking about His ways in the future series. The ways and purposes of God and all the riches of spiritual knowledge. All of it. is in Jesus. God is revealing that through his word. The more time we spend in this word, the more he reveals to us. Let's drop down to verse 9 in Colossians chapter 2. And mine is another page, but yours it probably isn't. Again, the Amplified. For in him, again, in Jesus, for in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. What did Jesus say about himself? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, the fullness of the Father resides in Jesus. For in him the whole fullness. Now, if it's whole, that means there's nothing left out. Mm-hmm. It's complete. The whole fullness of deity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. What's the divine nature?
Love.
Love. God is love.
I picture light.
Mm-hmm. That is who he is. God is light. God is mercy. All the different things. I've done that too when I've done the ways of God. I've done the list of who God is. You know, it's a fascinating study when you go through the Bible and pull those out. We need to make those kind of studies. We study God, we study ourselves. We study God, we study his ways. As he is, so are we in this world, it says in 1 John 4:18. We're supposed to be just like him. He's made us like himself. He created us in the same image. In other words, we're just like him. Mm-hmm. We're not gods. We never will be. Mm-hmm. Not supposed to be. But he's living in us. Uh-huh. So since he's living in us, mm-hmm. we, as Jesus expressed the fullness of God, we also express that fullness. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And we'll see that in this next verse. Verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2. And you, who's you? That's us. And you are in him. You can go through the Bible and pull out all the in hymns and you'll be amazed at how many times that's mentioned. In whom, in him, in us. And what did Jesus pray? That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be in us. See, God has never stopped the oneness with us. Adam was one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was created in his image. They were absolutely one. They knew the depths of each other. That boggles my mind. When they walked together in the cool of the evening, they knew each other's heart. They knew what they were thinking. They knew the depths of each other. Mm-hmm. But that's what they lost when Adam sinned and Eve sinned. Mm-hmm. But that's what God has been doing. He said that's always been in his heart, to have a man, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and man. He's never changed that. That's why we're so valuable to him. He sees himself. He not only Adam was not born. He was not born. He was created. And then he was born again into sin when he fell. He was the first one born again, but he wasn't born into life. He was born into death. He changed. Okay. But when you get the thought in your mind and you can kind of see them walking together, I don't think they even had to speak. You know, they knew each other's heart. When they look at something, there'd be a communion in their spirit about what they were looking at. They may have spoke, I don't know. But I think that they automatically knew each other in the depths of what they were thinking. And that's why God cried out when Adam sinned, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that he didn't know where he was. He knew where he was. But he wasn't connected anymore.
It broke his heart.
But yeah.
It broke his heart,
yeah, because they were separated. See, before that, they were one. He no longer had that communion together with him. Mm-hmm. And that's what God's been doing ever since that moment. He's been bringing that communion back together as one. That's his heart. That's why that cross, to bring us back together as one. And that's what this book is about. That's what the Bible is about. It's telling us the story of God's heart. The story of the, I had done a message one time, the journey of God and man, the one we had our church. I think it was an Easter message. But anyways, it was where God and man are walking together throughout time and eternity. The point where they separated, but God's still walking, still busy bringing things together. He's not doing anything else. I Paul saw that a revelation one time. God is not doing anything else that he wasn't doing in the beginning. Bringing back relationship. Now he actually has a man seated with him.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus. And where are we? We are in him. Ephesians said we are seated in heavenly places in him.
Oh.
I mean, I can't comprehend that. I know you can't either. No. But that's where we are. As far as God is concerned, we're seated with Jesus beside him.
That verse is always, it's beautiful, but it's always confused me.
Right. That is so.
I can't imagine walking with God. I mean, what does God look like?
I know.
He's
I know.
A spirit.
Yeah,
you're
but
a spirit.
What does the spirit look like if he's walking and they're together?
You know, when we're walking with him, I don't think we care what he looks like.
Do you think it was kind of a miniature version of the cloud? And the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire?
Well, when Adam was walking with God in the garden, I can't imagine what God looked like.
I know.
Well, the word does say, he's a fire from his loins up, from his loins down.
So he's a fire?
It's kind of like a little pillar. If you've seen science fiction TV stuff, you know, you can see these people that glow or kind of look like they've got
like
fire or something around them. I think that's kind of like what it looks like. But, you know, I've had a book, and I loaned it to somebody, and I've never got it back, and I've never been able to find it, so I'm going to have to order it. And it's about the Holy Trinity. And as I was reading this book, it didn't especially say this, but it came to my heart that God, the Father, that the first broken heart that Jesus healed was his Father's.
Yes.
That's beautiful. You know?
Yeah.
That was a revelation to me.
Yes.
Because Jesus came to heal a broken hearted, and the first heart he healed was his Father's. Right.
Well, we can see a description of Jesus in the first couple chapters of Revelation. And if they are one, I would think that they look pretty much alike.
Oh.
I think he looks a lot like we do.
Yeah.
If you were to see him sitting on the throne.
He has white, curly, light.
White hair. His hair is as white as wool.
And that's not old age. That's glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the glory. The glory, the very essence.
Well, if you think about Pentecost, it says the fire came down and divided up and was on each person. Mm-hmm. The painting, the famous painting of that picture, has this little tiny match line or candlelight right over each person's
head. That's not what it was.
But I don't think it said it tongues of fire parted and came to rest on each one of them. So I think this is a big flash of fire came down on each person, you know. The glory came down.
I think they were inside the fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
My own personal opinion.
Oh, inside the fire.
Yeah.
But when we say fire, we think of something that destroys.
Covered them.
But it's the glory of God. There's no other way to describe it other than fire. You know? And see, Adam was the same way. Adam wasn't naked. He was clothed from the inside. The glory.
Yeah, the glory of God was on him.
And
Eve, too, on both of them. Yeah. And so they all looked alike walking through the garden.
That's why God said, who told you you were naked? In other words, they were not. They became
the
naked. Because they disconnected from the glory. It was God's glory because they are one. Mm-hmm. They're one. And Adam was one with them. So it's the same glory. And that I love that thinking about those things. But
it's too big for me. The more I think about it, the bigger it gets.
That's what's awesome about it.
Yes.
But when any time you think of glory, I think of the fullness of something. I think that's one of the definitions. I've never looked it up, but the glory to me is the fullness of all something can be. Well, if God is love, then what's the glory? To me, love and glory are synonymous terms God is concerned. I mean, just do what you want to with that. It doesn't say that love is the glory. Mm-hmm. But glory can be power. Well, love is the most powerful thing there is. There's nothing more powerful than love. Love cannot be stopped or changed or altered in any way. And another, to me, part of that glory is the fruit of the Spirit. Because there's no law can come against them either. Mm-hmm. And the Amplified says, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5:26, it says, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of His presence. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So if it's the fruit of His presence, then that's who He is. That's His glory. That's the essence of Him.
Well, try to look at the sun. You know, you can't look at it for all the brightness. That's what they look like, is that brightness.
And it's, we can't. What does it look like? Well, physically, I don't know. I think He looks a lot like us.
He has to sit on the throne.
He has to sit. He has arms. He has all the attributes. He has eyes. He has a mouth. You know. Mm-hmm.
Who made the Holy Spirit a dove?
They never were made.
He said He came down and looked like a dove.
Yeah.
He wasn't a dove. He looked like a dove.
I don't think it said that it say he looks at it, looked like it, or he descended as a dove.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
A way a dove comes down, lights, it doesn't mean he looked like a dove. It means he came down like a dove or descended like a dove. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it says it like a visual.
Well, every gospel tells it.
But anyways, I'm not going to, we're going to have part three down. Here.
John is the one who testified
that
the Lord told him, whoever you see, my spirit come down as a dove.
Yeah.
So
that would be.
Whoever read that.
Well, it's been interpreted by artists.
Yeah, man
said
it was a dove. Okay. It was man who made that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a fog or a mist descend? Mm-hmm. That's what I see. It's like descending.
Yeah.
Not a glory again descending. But I don't think it was visibly a dove. No, I don't think so. Now, there might have been one light on him. I don't know.
Just visible form as a dove.
Yeah. So anyway.
He's seen something. There was something there that he saw.
He saw something.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, verse 9, read it again. Bring it back into 10. For in Him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form. Pardon me. Giving complete expression of the divine nature, and you are in Him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too. Now, what does "too" mean?
Also.
You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. This is Jesus. This is the Word. This is the one that lives in us. This is the very power and presence of God in us. and you are in him, made full. We're not full outside of him. We have to be in him or born again, immersed in him, having come to fullness of life. You mean I've come to fullness of life? In him you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, in your own self, you got a ways to go. So mm-hmm. do I.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in him. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love that. Just think on that for a while. Just let that dwell and get down in your spirit. He lives in us. He lives in us. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you. So this is a prayer that Paul prayed. 9 through 14 is a prayer for the church, prayer for these people. It's a prayer that you can pray.
Mm-hmm.
We pray it every day. I do it twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his prayer, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, clear knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom, in all comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Now that's you and I. That's Paul prayed God's will. This is what God wants. This is what he wants for us. That's why he put himself in us. When he placed the Holy Spirit inside of us when we got born again, that came in.
Amen.
That's resonant within you and I. We may not be tapping into it. We may not even know it. If we're not in the Word, we definitely don't know it. But it's resonant there. And if it's resonant in us, it's available.
Amen.
It's available. What I have to do is position myself to where I can call it up. The more I'm in the Word, the more revelation comes. The more revelation comes, the more I'm in Him.
Amen.
It's a chain. The more I increase in the knowledge of Him. But see, everything that God does through us is already in us.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I thought about what I said at church a couple of weeks ago when we were there, that God's not going to back the truck up and dump more of his presence on us.
He just releases
it. We want
it.
More of him. We have to give him more of ourselves.
You know, it's like this big reservoir in us, and we got a little few drops dripping out here and there. Well, there's a knob over there that can turn that up. And he wants to turn it up. He's already supplied it. It's already in us. Everything that we'll ever need, and we've been reading those scriptures. It's what it says. Everything that we'll ever need is already resident. He doesn't have to go make it. He doesn't have to do anything other than to carry out what we choose. I choose how much I want to release in my life. Everything I will ever have need of is already resident. All of the wisdom and knowledge of God is already present in me by the Holy Spirit. Because he's in me. There's not a piece of him or just a little small percentage of the Holy Spirit in me. It's the same Spirit that was in Jesus is in me. There's only one. It's the same one. Now, he's limited with me. For one thing, I limit him. I limit him. And so do you. But the more God inside minded we get, the more we tune our life with this word, the more is released. We're not deficit of anything. We're not void of anything. If the Holy Spirit's in me, and he is when I got born again, everything's in there with him. I just got to open the valve up a little bit. Say, well, he does that. No, my choices open that valve up. What I do with the word opens up that valve and more flows. It's not these high, lofty people like Kenneth Hagin that really knows God. They're just a man. There's nothing different between them and me. The only difference is they open their valve up further by choice. That's all they did. That's why when we read in a couple of weeks ago about the unfolding, the entrance of the word and the unfolding of the word brings light, even to the simple, it says. That simple person can open that valve up by his choices. Amen. We lack nothing.
We can close it too by our choices.
We close it. The devil doesn't, we do. See, we're the one that limits, we're the ones that opens up. We're the ones that allow the Holy Spirit to move. And it's directly related to what we do with this word. What we do with the Bible, the time we spend in it, the time we spend with our Father, the time we spend praying, the time we spend, I just don't have all day. You have the same 24 hours everybody else does. And you can take God with you wherever you go, in whatever you're doing. He's right there with you. You can filter what you're doing through the word. Filter it through the love walk. You can be constantly aware of how this is affecting me or affecting others. Or how can I use this to help someone? How can I... What's God saying to me? She gets the revelation while we're walking, or while she's working out among stuff. I get revelation that way. I get revelation watching TV. I can be watching someone. Somebody will just say a little phrase, and a revelation will come up. Not related to what they were doing, related to those couple words they said. Not even related to that. And see, that's how you're constantly allowing the word to flow through you. Nate's working on computers and talking with people and seeing these kids and all of that. He can relate the word to those as he goes through his day. Gene can as a teacher. All kinds of various people have various needs. Or at the hospital, all kinds of needs. She can see that and filter that through the word. How can I pray for this person? This person needs Jesus here. Do they? You know, all kinds of ways to be in the word all the time. That's why it's so valuable to be in it and to meditate on it and confess it. Because you'll find the Holy Spirit pointing out things as you go through your day. He's always there. So you can allow Him to move through you in whatever you're going through, wherever you're at. But we don't expect it. Right down to a parking spot.
Uh-huh.
You know? She come home one time and said, working at night, said, I hate checking out people with liquor. And I said, well, do you realize when you slide that across there, it's in your hand? I said, it's in your hand. Pray over it. Speak over it. You know, open the eyes of this man's understanding. And there's all kinds of ways. Alex was a card pusher. He said, well, I'm not getting nowhere. I'm not helping nobody. I said, do you realize every person you lay hands on that cart, all their groceries and stuff you help them with, pushing their carts in and out, do you know those are people? You're laying hands upon a point of contact with that cart is a point of contact with them.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, never thought of that.
You know, it's simple ways that you can touch other people even without saying anything. Mm-hmm. I sincerely believe we miss a lot of divine opportunities that God has us there. We don't see it as a divine opportunity. I can't tell you how many times... See, I knew I was in my job because God put me there. And I knew that as an adjuster, you don't get called on a claim because nothing's wrong. You get called on a claim because something is wrong. And now you have an answer for that person. Not just the money, not just getting it together. I can't tell you how many times I expected it. How many times I pulled up in a driveway on a claim. Some were not covered. But I knew there, I was there for another reason. One was a theft type of thing way over there near Lebanon, a mobile home. And I pulled up in there and got in there, and I was talking to the guy, and he, it's obvious he was hurting. And I asked him a few questions, and he started telling me, he said, my wife left me. I'll never be the same. He started crying. I was there for that man. I thought I was there for a claim, but I wasn't. And God didn't do the claim so that I get there. The claim was in the path. But I was the one he chose to go. You see, it's our, these things that happen to us, we just treat them as a day-by-day occurrence, and they're not. Every one of them are divine opportunities. Some of them, it happened again. Some of them are things that we overlook. And I'm off my message a little bit, but maybe I'm not. I think I've told you this before, but it's coming up again, so I'm going to say it again. Maybe somebody needs it on the tape. I was with Barton Mutual for probably 2-3 years. We hadn't moved here yet. I've always stayed at Rolla. I went to Iowa, from Sikeston to Iowa, all across the northern part of the state, down from Kirksville, straight down all the way down. I had 2/3. You cut the state in half. Cut it off the other way at Dexter or Sikeston. Everything above there I had. 2/3 of the state on the east side. And so I had to do it in little circles. So my path back home, when I do that, would almost always be through 63. We lived down at Oran, north of Sikeston. And regular stop was... And so I was always trying to get everything done. So I was coming down from Mexico or somewhere... Down through there, I stayed in Rolla to Drury Inn, and I got to Vienna, and Ballpark Road there, you may not know where that is, but there's a road called Ballpark Road, and we had a house to inspect, about 3 or 4 of them in that little area there. So I stopped at the first one, and I knocked on the door, and it was a Cape Mutual policy, so it was elderly, senior citizen. So I knocked on the door, and she hollered from the inside, "Come in." So I opened the door and walked in, and everything was pitch black. You couldn't see your hand in front of you hardly. And she said, "I apologize for the darkness," but she says, "I'm totally blind." And she was sitting in the chair in the middle of the room. I told her why I was there. The minute she told me that, I knew why I was there. I knew why I was there. I wasn't as far along at that time. I hadn't been born again or filled with the Spirit very long, maybe 6-7 years.
But less than that. I don't know if it was 5 years.
It might have been something like that. Yeah. So I didn't know the knowledge, have knowledge, but I knew the voice of the Father. I knew I was there for that reason. And she told me to go on. I went ahead and done my whole thing and come back. And the impression was there again, but I was so busy. It was late, and I had more to do. And you rationalize things. And plus, I wasn't sure yet that was me. It wasn't just me. Mm-hmm. So I went on and left. And went on down the road further, done 2 more, and come back by. And right at that house, I was supposed to stop and go in there again. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I rationalized it. So I left. And I drove on to Rolla. And I was heading about halfway there, and it was just, wouldn't leave me. And I thought, "Lord, if it's you, I'll stop by on my next time." You know, I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but I was wrong. So I went and stayed the night, and I kept my word out. Next time I was through there, I went by, knocked on the door a couple weeks later, no answer. So I went on, I tried one more time, and the next time, no answer. Next time I went by, the house was torn down.
Oh.
And
she must have died.
I had no idea. I don't know if I was the last one, but God would have healed her. And I didn't do it. I didn't do my part. That was a divine appointment. I may not have recognized it other times that I recognized that one. But I didn't do anything about it. For years, that really, there's a nursing home there now. That bothered me for years. I repented, and I dealt with myself. But every now and then it'll come up, but it's always to minister. I've dealt with it. But it's something I had to deal with. I can't say that it doesn't hurt me even now. All these years later, it's 1988, 89, long time ago. But it's still there. Now, did somebody else come by? I don't know. But see, we're not spiritually in tune in our daily life. Mm-hmm. We need to be in tune in our daily life. We need to have this word so in our hearts that we recognize those leadings. Pardon me, I don't mean that to be a downer. But I'm telling you something that happened to me. So maybe it doesn't happen to you. And that you'll be a little more aware as you go through your daily life of those little things where God has put you somewhere you may not want to be there. You may not even like being there. But look into it.
It's something that if the word, you're deep enough in it, with enough understanding, you have to stop thinking and let it instinctually act through you.
Yes, exactly right. Because you will rationalize it. That's what I was doing. And in the natural, I was not wrong. In the natural. I was not wrong in the natural the way I treated that. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong in the spiritual realm, which is a higher realm and more important. God would have taken care of those other things that I thought was more important. So remember that we are filled with that Holy Spirit. Every moment is a divine moment. Every moment. There isn't anything else. You know, we like to separate God and church and all these other things out and to categorize them. And we just switch the switch on and turn it off. We can't do that because every moment of every second of our life is a God second. It's a God moment. There is nothing else. And if I can get a hold of that in my mind, I will walk a different life as I walk my life. I will walk a different life because I'm God inside minded. I'm God aware as I go through my day, knowing that He's not anywhere else. He's right here with me. And this may be one of those opportunities like Michael was talking about. All I wanted to do was get this day over. It was a long day. And I wanted to get home. I wanted home for the night. And I really wasn't sure. But I still knew. Uh-huh. And God was very specific. I did know. going to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. It's a prayer again. There are so many Bible-based prayers that Paul prayed and others prayed that are available. Things to confess, things to pray throughout the Bible. The Amplified here really brings out the heart of what God's saying. And Paul is praying by revelation. He's praying for the Ephesians and for the whole church. He's praying for us. But at the same time, not just prayer. He's bringing out revelation through his prayer. We may go through this next time, I don't know. But I'm going to read it. That's about all I'm going to get done because this is another message by itself. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. Now this is the Amplified, remember. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan, which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. My prayers always start with this prayer. Verse 15. For whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Mm-hmm. That's where the strength comes from, is inside of us. May Christ, through your faith, notice your faith is involved. Mm-hmm. Not God's faith, your faith. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and to be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Wow. I just love that. That's the expression. And the other translations don't bring out the depth and the power of what he's actually saying. But I believe this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to say through Paul. Mm-hmm. It's God's prayer for us that we know the fullness of him, the fullness of his love, the fullness of the knowledge of him. We've read that several places in Colossians and here tonight. That it's God's desire for us to know him in that kind of a deep way. That's the way Adam knew him. And that's what he's been doing. And this is available to us. But we have to position ourselves for it. That's what happens when you fall in love with the Word. Paul was in love with the Word. And love with God. But he himself said, I'm still running this race. Not that I've arrived. Then he said, I want to know him. And there's always more to know about God. So that's the goal of our Bible study, is to know him in a deeper way.
Amen.
And to have our lives changed in such a way that we walk this out every moment of our life. And you don't have to remember verse and chapter and all of that. Remember the character. Remember his ways. And as you walk through your life, make his ways your ways.
Amen.
Mother, you want to pray?
Thank you, Lord. We love your word. We receive your word.
Thank
you,
Lord.
We want it to dwell in us. We want to let it renew our minds.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Teach us and bring us to what you want us to know and do. We want you to guide us in our daily lives. We want you to show us our path. And
amen.
We know that you have one for us, and we want to be able to see And the other prayer is that you would give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you.
Yes, Lord.
That you would pour this out on us by your Spirit, which you're so happy to do for us.
Amen.
The more we receive, the more we want.
Yeah.
The more it's like a really good spiritual meal. We're hungry and we want it.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, that you always provide it. And you guide us into all the truth that we need for everything that we want to do, because you're so good.
Amen.
And you bless us. And I speak your blessing on us tonight.
Amen.
For the next week and for our daily lives, our jobs, our families, all the things, our schools, everything that we'll encounter this coming week. We want to remember by your Spirit the word that we've received. And have it help us as we make our choices for choices to love and to be selfless. And we know that you will, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.